take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-token lovers of liberty. It is Monday, August 22nd, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Oh my God, we are back from the 25th annual Seattle Hemp Fest, the silver anniversary. What an amazing weekend it was up there at Myrtle Edwards Park for the world's largest and longest continuously operating marijuana protestival worldwide. At least the largest. It's not the longest operating one. But 25 years is nothing to sneeze at. And Vivian McPeak and Steve Fun and Gary and all these guys on the stages and all the volunteers, everybody involved, Tim Pate, all the great folks, they put on another wonderful event. And I got to say, the weather was much better than last year. Last year, we got rained out on Friday. And this year, I mean, literally, like, last year, there was no bands, no speakers, nothing on Friday. It got flooding in the Seattle Hemp Fest zone. So they were really struggling this year because they lost one third of their possible donations because they, you know, they're a free speech event. They can't charge people to come into the park to enjoy these, six different stages full of bands and speakers and hundreds of different vendors and, of course, open pot smoking everywhere you look. So they're looking to get some donations, and if you want to attend Seattle Hemp Fest next year or sometime in the future, you ought to get online and make a donation. It's hempfest.org, or you can go to gofundme.com/keephempfestalive. So this week we'll be bringing you all sorts of audio highlights from the Seattle Hemp Fest. We've got some of the speeches from some of the activists and leaders from the various stages. We've also got backstage interviews that I conducted, and some special stuff in hour two, some musical artists that we have, including on today's show at our 420 break. We're going to bring you Chief Greenbud with myself on backing vocals on the main stage Saturday doing It's 420 Somewhere. So we're going to do that at 420 today on the show. Stay tuned for that. Also coming up on the show today, of course, we have our cannabis radio news in the headlines today. Oh, I don't know if you saw those photos of Malia Obama, the first daughter, taking a toke. We'll talk about that. Plus a win for legalization in Arizona, a court decision to tell you about. Another good court decision for medical marijuana coming out of the state of Connecticut with regards to employment. We've also got Cayman Islands news. We've got some industrial hemp news from New York State and the sad story of former Raiders quarterback Todd Marinovich. That's coming up in our cannabis radio news. Then we'll follow that up with Herb Thrasher's speech from the Cavi Gold stage at the Seattle Hemp Fest, leading into our 20 after break. Then at 23 after, we'll have my speech from the Sealy stage, followed by our cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch segment. Dr. Mitch will be joining us to talk about the new studies on pot and poverty. We've got a study on adverse outcomes on transplant patients. We have a look at alcohol as a gateway drug, the differences between men and women and the use of cannabis for pain relief. We've got a sleep study for heavy cannabis users to talk about. And we'll follow up on that decision by the DEA to open up more places to cultivate cannabis for research. At the end of hour one, we'll get to the Radical Rant, another speech from me, my speech at the Cavi Gold stage. You can learn how I became Radical Russ. And then in hour two, we get visits from Elise McDonough, the edibles editor at High Times magazine, an extended discussion with New Jersey weed man Ed Fortune about his battle with the cops over his temple and the crushing of the weedmobile. And we'll close things up with Cannabis Radio's own Nurse Heather Manis. All coming up in this Seattle Hemp Fest edition of the Russ Belville Show.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
K-Rock. cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat. More flavor.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line, Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture here.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, August 22nd, 2016. Chicago, Illinois. First daughter Malia Obama was revealed to be smoking what appears to be a joint at the Lollapalooza Music Festival. Radar Online has the exclusive video showing 18-year-old Malia dancing to the music and taking a hit off the small hand-rolled cigarette passed to her by some young man. Radar Online reports that Jaredon Selwyn, also 18, was an eyewitness to President Obama's oldest daughter toking the reefer, saying, quote, "I caught Malia smoking pot, and I have the pictures to prove it," she told Radar. "She was only a few feet away from me, and you could smell the marijuana smoke coming from the cigarette she took a hit on," end quote. Barack Obama famously admitted his marijuana use at age 17 while in high school in Hawaii. Phoenix, Arizona. A judge on Friday threw out a legal challenge to an initiative that will ask voters in November to legalize recreational marijuana in Arizona. The ruling by Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Joe Lynn Gentry dismissing the challenge is expected to be appealed by opponents of the measure directly to the Arizona Supreme Court. Gentry ruled that opponents of Proposition 205 can't challenge the initiative because of changes to the law in 2015 limiting such lawsuits. She said the legislature, wittingly or not, eliminated a part of the law allowing any citizen to challenge the legality of initiative petitions. In case that interpretation is overturned by the Supreme Court, Gentry went on to reject all of the reasons opponents laid out for keeping the initiative off of the ballot. They had asked her to bar it from the ballot because of the short description voters saw when signing petitions that left off many major provisions. For instance, the 100-word legal description did not include details about changes to DUI laws, child custody issues, employment law, and many others. Gentry said in her ruling that there was, quote, "no ability to prepare a summary that would comply with the 100-word limit and with their objections," end quote. Hartford, Connecticut. A Connecticut state worker fired after he was caught smoking marijuana on the job was punished too harshly and should get his job back, the state Supreme Court ruled Friday. Gregory Linhoff was fired from his maintenance job at the University of Connecticut Health Center in Farmington in 2012 after a police officer caught him smoking pot in a state-owned vehicle. He had no previous disciplinary problems since being hired in 1998 and had received favorable job evaluations, according to his union. He was arrested, but the charges were later dismissed. State officials said firing the New Hartford resident was the only appropriate penalty for his conduct, and not doing so would send a bad message to other employees. Georgetown, Cayman Islands. Premier Alden McLaughlin is in full support of changes to the Misuse of Drugs Act that would make the Cayman Islands the first Caribbean nation to have a functioning medical cannabis program. The rules changes published by the island government are still subject to a 21-day public comment period, followed by debate in the Legislative Assembly. The law would allow doctors to prescribe extracts and tinctures of cannabis. However, cannabis plants would not be grown and processed on the islands. The law will allow only for the importation of the cannabis oils and tinctures. Albany, New York. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on Friday signed a law expanding the Empire State's research hemp program. The changes will now allow the selling and transportation of industrial hemp within the state. There is currently one farm in Madison County cultivating a 30-acre hemp farm with the researchers at the Morrisville State College. Irvine, California. Former USC and Oakland Raiders quarterback Todd Marinovich was found naked late Friday morning in the backyard of someone else's home in possession of marijuana and arrested. Marinovich was cited for trespassing, possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of marijuana. The former 1991 first-round NFL draft pick has had a long, troubled history with drug abuse. After only two seasons with the Raiders, he was dropped by the team because of his drug use. In 1997, he was busted for felony marijuana cultivation and prescription pill possession. A stint in the Arena Football League in 2000 was cut short by heroin possession charges. Marinovich has had two more drug possession arrests in 2005 and 2007. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, August 22nd, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and The Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Welcome back, everyone. We have just this great speech from our good friend Herb Thrasher from 420 Radio and Portland Normal at Seattle Hemp Fest.
Right on, guys. I'm Herb Thrasher, 420 Radio. Thanks so much to Farmer Tom. You can find him at FarmerTomOrganics.com. Yeah, what's up, Al? Cavi Gold in the house. Yeah. I'm Herb Thrasher. I'm with Herb Age Designs. 420 Radio, and executive director for Portland Normal. And I definitely like to thank this, my main man right here, for wearing that Normal shirt. Yeah, give it up. Normal's been doing great things since 1970. all the way here in 2016, and we're still doing things. We're in a legalized world now. You guys are definitely ahead of Oregon, and we're at a new stage. I like to call it, we're at a kind of like a detail stage, you know? It's like we worked so hard for so many years to get legalization, and we thought we were just gonna get high and have a good time afterwards, and now what's happening is we've gotten legalization, we've gotten here, but other people behind us and around us are creating our system, and that's not right. We should be the ones creating our system. We're the ones that have driven it this far to get our legalization. We're the ones who have innovated all our products. I mean, so many great products, so many great vendors, innovators. I mean, you've even got a pretzel pipe nowadays, for crying out loud. A pretzel pipe, dude. Stoner head, dude, sitting around. What can we do? What's new? What's next? So many glass pipes, so many bongs. I know, a pretzel pipe. And so great things like that is what the cannabis community has always been kind of innovated, because we come up with our products. Concentrate world, the whole oil world is a great, great example. I mean, that has come on so fast, and it's part of our community, and now it's kind of embedded in the whole cannabis community. And so many great things are going on. As I mentioned, I'm 420 Radio, and I love music, man. I love cannabis, and the whole world's for so long have been put together. You know, the greatest stoner rock tune of all times, Black Sabbath's Sweet Leaf, was written back in 1969, for crying out loud. I mean, this is how long things have been going on, and rock and roll has been embedded. You know, we've always loved Bob Marley, and we love Jerry Garcia, but rock and roll and heavy metal has always been a part, too, and a lot of us do this, and so it needs to be part of our communities as we keep going. And so 420 Radio loves to embrace the bands. You know, a lot of these bands deserve to be going on tour from state to state and deserve not to be pulled over and harassed. You know, so many bands, you guys don't know the stories, but many bands get pulled over. They get searched, you know, Van long hair, black shirts, wearing sunglasses. No, but, you know, we all deserve to be free. And as we create our industry, hopefully California in 2016 will be a trifecta here in the Northwest. And then we'll be in the West Coast now. And then the East Coast, other states are looking at voting as well. Maryland's doing good. Maine, come on, Maine, let's go. And then we could have this sandwich and just pull into this weed sandwich. And it would be cool to be legalized and keep this movement going. As I mentioned, I'm also executive director for Portland Normal. And I do that because I still feel like activism is important. We're in this legalized world, and we definitely need to change, and we need to change with it. But our activism needs to stay remain. And this is a great event that precedes that and keeps it going. We need to keep Hemp Fest going. 25 years, we need 26 years. You know, they're putting out articles now, and I'm hearing Hemp Fest needs to die. It doesn't need to die. We need to grow it even more and keep our community going. We'll change this event. Keep it going. So you guys just keep supporting the community. It's so important to be involved. All you bands, all you rockers out there, keep rocking. Let us hear from you, man. You guys keep it up. It's good stuff. I've also Herb Age Designs, and I started that back in 2003 because I felt like we needed a company that was more than just about smoking, more than about pipes and weed and bongs. And so I started a gift and apparel company, and it's been a great ride ever since. And so I'd like to encourage all you guys out there, if you think about joining the cannabis industry as a business, do it. Go for it. We need jobs. We need to keep pushing this forward. We need to keep mainstream going. You know, one of the things that always caught me was urine testing. You guys like urine tests? You know, when you apply for a job, you have to look at the jobs and you have to assume which ones are going to urine test you and which not. That's right. See, there you go. But it was, you know, there's this world and there's this whole thing that we're going. So everybody join activism. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep supporting this community. And keep supporting groups like Normal and the Seattle Hemp Fest. Keep rocking. Congratulations to Cavi Gold Records. You know, I've been watching these guys grow for a long time, supporting many, many bands. And I'd like to give them a huge congratulations. This is their first year here, right here. And they've been growing too, man. They started on a little van down there, and they've been doing it. And now they've got many great bands. So definitely check out Cavi Gold Records and Caviar Gold. Shout out to Scott McKinley and all the bands. Keep rocking, guys. I'm Herb Thrasher. Happy Hemp Fest.
I think I was trying to suggest something about the duality of man, sir.
All right, folks, that sound means it's 20 after the hour. Time for us to let loose and enjoy a brief safety meeting. And when we come back, we've got more from Seattle Hemp Fest. You'll get my speech from the Sealy stage telling people to broaden their perspective on all drugs and all countries when we return.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Mentions the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on CannabisRadio.com. And don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well. But words are my shit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
You're going to find really wonderful, well-meaning, well-spoken people, and then people that are just batshit crazy.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Today on the agenda, we go back to Friday at the Sealy Stage, Seattle Hemp Fest.
Please give it up for Russ Belville.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, Seattle Hemp Fest Sealy Stage. Thanks for having me back. It's my 12th time at Seattle Hemp Fest, 10th year speaking here, and I can't believe what progress we've made in that time. Just think, 10 years ago, there was only 8 medical marijuana states. There's 25 now. And part of the reason for that is because of festivals just like this and people just like you who disobey the government when they make an unjust law. Who are you to tell me what I do with my own body and the seeds and the plants that come from this earth? Who's got that right? Nobody. We have that right ourselves. And as time goes on, we're continuing to legalize. This year could be a turning point in legalization, not just in the United States of America, but throughout the entire world. The entire world is watching us. We got 5 states with legalization on the ballot: California, Arizona, Nevada, Massachusetts, and Maine. But the polls only look really good in California and Maine. Massachusetts and Arizona's looking tough right now. Nevada's 50-50. But we're going to get at least 2 of them, maybe 3 of them. Who knows? If things go our way, we can get all 5. We got another 4 states that are voting on medical marijuana. Florida, Arkansas. Arkansas has 2 medical marijuanas on the ballot. They got 2 different ones to pick from. I don't like this one. I'll pick this one. They've got medical marijuana on the ballot in North Dakota. North Dakota. I'm the news director for CannabisRadio.com. And we're going to be doing a live election night coverage on CannabisRadio.com. It'll be on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, all of that stuff. So it's my job to find correspondents from all the states. North Dakota? I don't know anybody in North Dakota who smokes weed. Do you know anybody in North Dakota? If you know someone, please let me know. North Dakota down there? Right on. North Dakota over there? Send them my way. I'm Radical Russ online. Just Radical Russ Gmail, Radical Russ Facebook. Get a hold of me. But it's amazing this progress we're making because the whole rest of the world is watching, and I want to encourage you to expand your horizons when you think about cannabis as not just the fight for, hey, we get to smoke weed, but it's really a fight about freedom. It just happens to be weed is the subject, but it's really, do we have freedom over our own minds and our own bodies and our own lives? There's a lot of places in this world that don't have that freedom, and they're counting on us. You know, we've got it pretty good in the Pacific Northwest. I'm from Portland, Oregon. But I went last week to Boise, Idaho for the Boise Hemp Fest, and they don't have it so good in Boise. They still have a misdemeanor crime on the books for merely being high in public. Like, no weed on you. Just being high in public is a misdemeanor with a 3-month sentence. That's pretty harsh, man. That's pretty harsh. There are Idaho is surrounded. There's only like 7 states left that have absolute prohibition, and they need us to continue making it look good, right? They're not going to get legalization in Texas until it happens in California. They're not going to get it in Georgia until it happens in Texas. It's got to happen place by place by place, and every place then sets the example for the next place. So we've got to be careful as cannabis consumers to not make legalization look bad. And so far, we haven't. 25 years at Seattle Hemp Fest. We don't get fights. We don't get riots. We don't get problems. Trust me, man. I've covered a lot of beer fests and places where there's alcohol and there's fights and there's problems. And we never see that among our people. We are a good, kind community. And the world is depending on us. Let me expand your mind again, a little beyond the United States of America. They're just starting to get medical marijuana in Australia. The state of Victoria down there is starting their program. They're starting to get New South Wales down there, a couple of their states in Australia, it's happening. But then, a little bit closer, off to the side there in the Pacific Ocean, there's the Philippines. Do you know about the Philippines? What's going on there? This guy named Duterte ran for president of the Philippines, and he said, if I'm elected, we're going to declare war on drug users and drug abusers. And we're going to take them out and shoot them in the streets. And we're going to kill so many criminals, we will fill the Manila Bay with so many bodies, the fish will grow fat. And people were like, oh, this guy's wacky. He's crazy, but he'll never win. He'll never win. He's just a lunatic, but he'll never win. He's promising all this crazy shit, but he'll never win. The guy won. He's the president of the Philippines now. There are now over 1,000 deaths, literal deaths, where not just the cops have been given free rein to execute drug users and drug peddlers in the street. He's enabled vigilante gangs. He's said if you kill a drug dealer in the streets and you're prosecuted, I will pardon you. If the world court comes after you for war crimes, I will fight that. This has caused 60,000 drug users and drug dealers in the Philippines to turn themselves into the authorities because they're like, hell, I'd rather go to jail than have someone kill me in the street. And there's these photos of these dead bodies in the street where they lay these cardboard placards next to their body. Dead dealer, good riddance in Spanish, but right, same thing, right? So the people of the Philippines, man, they don't get any help until we legalize in America, and then we export that to Canada, and we export that to Mexico, and Latin America, and South America, and take it across the Pacific Ocean, and start getting these countries like Malaysia, and Singapore, and the Philippines, where they kill you for using drugs. They kill you. So it's great that we get to smoke pot, and I'm glad this is the 25th Hemp Fest, and I'm so happy we've got all these states that are legalizing and passing medical marijuana, but never think our job is done. Never rest on your laurels. Never be happy that you get a smoke in the shade on a beautiful day and think that's the end of it, because it ain't. There's people all over this country, all over this planet that need us. Keep leading. Keep fighting the good fight. Presenting the best image you can. Tell everyone you know the truth about cannabis and the lies and the stigma and the stereotypes. I'm Radical Russ from Cannabis Radio. Thank you for listening.
Oh, sorry about all that boopy bleeping booping there. We're doing it live, and the Skype was not muted as we were reaching out to Dr. Majorlywine. So, my apologies. When we come back, as you probably guessed, Dr. Majorlywine will be on the show in our cannabis Q&A segment. We're going to be talking about a few studies out there on pot and poverty, on organ transplants, alcohol as a gateway drug, marijuana and pain, and the gender differences therein, and more. You can also get your questions in our chat room here on Spreaker.com. Be right back after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin? CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the Cannabis Crusade. Join us Thursday, November 8th for Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our cannabis Q&A, and we go out to Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch, can you hear us?
Indeed, I can now. Thanks. Oh,
fantastic. Glad to have you here on the show, and it looks like our chat room can hear you again, too, so everything is good. Let's get on with our discussion. We cover the latest in cannabis science every Monday here on the show. Before we begin, we do have a question coming in from our live chat room, which wants to know about your opinion on the FDA's move to bring CBD and other marijuana compounds firmly under FDA regulation. They've stated that CBD, including from hemp, is a controlled substance and cannot be marketed as a food or a drug without FDA approval. Do you think there will be enforcement actions against the larger CBD companies that are continuing to market CBD hemp as a food or a nutraceutical?
I'm afraid at least one of them is bound to take a hit on this, that in a sense, whoever is sort of the most salient or the tallest, so to speak, mm-hmm. is going to end up taking a punch to the face, just to sort of serve as an example for all the other CBD companies. This is a ridiculous move. We've got literally a completely non-psychoactive substance potentially produced without any negative consequences or any weird side effects, with also some amazing medical properties, it's going to really hurt a lot of people and just force folks into the underground again. I'm really disappointed by this, as you can imagine.
Yeah. It seems like some enforcement action is going to happen sometime on this. Another question from our chat room. We'd heard some reports of studies showing that CBD can be converted to THC in the body. And this kind of anecdotally goes back to me talking with Chris Goldstein, who had told me during his 2-year federal probation he had tried some CBD and actually felt a psychoactive effect from it. What's the story on this?
There was a time when they thought maybe a moderate dose of CBD had some psychoactive effects. It doesn't look like it actually breaks down into THC under any circumstances. There were some strains that were allegedly having THC break down into CBD as they aged, but actually I've never seen the raw data. It's just been one of those kind of legends among the researchers. So I honestly think if there is any effective CBD that's at all psychoactive, it's probably at moderate doses and really mild. Poor Chris, I can imagine after all that time without any cannabis, literally any placebo would have made him feel something.
That could be it, indeed, the placebo effect. All right, there are some studies that came out over the week that I thought we should talk about. This one got a really alarmist headline out of the New York Daily Post about legalizing pot, making America's lower classes poorer and less responsible. See, we legalize pot and the poors can't handle it.
This is kind of disheartening. Just the whole tone of the thing is constantly how, you know, poor people are basically evil and we have to baby them because they can't make responsible decisions on their own or something like that. I mean, in fact, all this shows is that people who don't buy into the make a lot of money narrative of America also are willing to defy some of the laws that America has passed that are among the dumber ones. But we also have an odd situation with self-report bias. It wouldn't stun me to learn that people who are willing to confess that they don't necessarily make a lot of money are also willing to confess that they don't use cannabis, whereas folks who are trying to, you know, make themselves look great might both say that they make more money than they really make and say they don't use the plant.
What about the possibility, you know, someone who's making enough money and has health insurance and a doctor, when they've got anxiety, they go get a Xanax, whereas the poor working class people smoke a joint?
It sounds pretty compelling to me, Russ.
All right. This is a good study here. This one on marijuana use not being associated with adverse outcomes for transplant patients. We've told the story too many times of people kicked off transplant lists and dying because they were legal medical marijuana patients. What does this new science tell us?
Well, I want to emphasize that this is not the first time we've seen transplant patients do fine, even if they used cannabis. And a subset have emphasized that some of those transplant medications are super nauseating and that the cannabis can actually help them stay on the meds that are important for their immune function when they're adapting to a new organ. I also want to emphasize that this is a bigger sample than a lot of the ones before, so it's really becoming more and more obvious how heartless it is to make folks on transplant lists not use cannabis.
Mm. You know, so many people we've known and covered on this show that could be alive today had they not been kicked off those lists. It's good to know that the science is coming around on this and more people are listening. There's a study out on the gateway drug phenomenon, and this time it's not marijuana. They're actually pointing out good old-fashioned booze is the real gateway. What can we really take away from this?
The logic on this article, I mean, is just a little bit off. What we can really say is, guess what? Alcohol is markedly more addictive than cannabis. So the number of folks who use alcohol, of course, is higher than the number of folks who use cannabis. But also the number of folks who use alcohol regularly who subsequently become dependent seems to be markedly higher than the number who use cannabis who become dependent. So the logic is a little bit weird. There are actually some other data out right now saying regular tobacco use is probably a better predictor of hard drugs than either of these. So kind of a curious way. But I'm always happy to see Brian Bennett's work get a little bit of credit, and I love those graphs. Those are wonderful images.
You know, when I was first getting into the reform movement, Brian C. Bennett was one of the first guys online who I gravitated toward because I was looking up, you know, I wanted to know national survey and drug use and health tables.
Beatles and whatever else. He's got an entire archive out there, and I believe the Baker Institute is now hosting some of his work. So check that out. It's Brian C. Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, and Baker Institute is probably another place to look for that. All right, there's an interesting study out on cannabis and pain, and we've dealt with that subject many times. But this one points out a gender-based difference, a sex-based difference, where between men and women on how it helps or doesn't help their pain. What are the details here?
So anytime I see gender-moderated effects of cannabis, I do have to point towards a menstrual cycle issue that's sometimes a confound. Believe me, my wife never wants to hear me mention menopause when anybody's talking about pain. But the clincher is really, it looks like this is working for the men and not for the women. I need to get the means actually from this paper, and I can't seem to get a hold of the standard deviations. It doesn't necessarily show that they're actually different. It just seems to be that the women aren't reporting quite the same level of analgesia that the men are. I do want to emphasize, too, that this could be a dose issue, because we've seen in the past where there's sort of a Goldilocks effect, if you will. There's a just right dosage for cannabis and pain. Too much or too little tends to make things not any better, whereas that optimal dose is just right. I'm guessing here, but perhaps the women were smaller body massed, and so this dose was a little too high for them to actually get the optimal level of analgesia, whereas for the men it was okay, and that if they had used just a little less, they might have been just fine.
You know, this is something we'll bring up in a little more detail. This Friday, we have Maya Elizabeth on the show from Whoopi and Maya. And, of course, they're making cannabis-based products directed specifically to women and the pain that they go through menstruation. So it's a topic that doesn't have enough research, right, Dr. Mitch?
Sad but true. And, in fact, one of my grad students is sitting on some data right now. She had just emailed me about it, so we're doing all we can to try to address this, but as one of my friends once said, if you want to know something about women's health, don't ask a doctor. You might as well ask a vet.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Another interesting study that came out through the rest of this last week, heavy marijuana users have worse sleep habits or sleep patterns. Is that true?
No, in fact, this is correlational stuff, and I'm afraid it may actually have the causality completely asked backwards. So they're saying, oh, the folks who are daily cannabis users are the ones who aren't reporting very good sleep relative to the folks who aren't daily users, but it's completely likely that folks are using every day simply because they already have sleep problems. They weren't randomly assigned to use, and what really needs to happen with this is a randomized clinical trial where folks either get marijuana or don't, and then they actually measure their sleep. Don't just go out there and ask folks, how much pot do you smoke? How much do you sleep?
Gotcha. And hadn't we gotten reports before about the effect of cannabis use on REM or REM sleep?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but daily cannabis use tends to suppress REM sleep, and so one of the alleged symptoms of what they call withdrawal is nightmares or extreme dreams when you first quit using cannabis after a period, a long stretch of daily use. But again, and we're talking about a really minor thing, the idea that that's dependence is kind of comical. But in fact, if you are using a cannabis product to keep your sleep going, go ahead and take a day off once in a while and see if in a 3-day span you can actually get your sleep down on your own. And I just want to remind folks of good sleep hygiene, so they make sure their room is an appropriate temperature, that the room is quiet and dark, and only use your bed for sex and sleep, and do what you can to really make the whole room kind of a cue for drifting off.
Excellent advice. And the final thing I wanted to touch on is something we discussed a bit last week, but I keep getting questions about it. And it's the DEA's refusal to reschedule cannabis, which we've already said, you're trying to put a leaf-shaped drug through a pill-shaped hole. But the silver lining, supposedly, was that they were going to open up more farms for research cultivation other than just the University of Mississippi's pot farm that produces that lousy pre-rolled joints for Irv and Elvie. Elvie says hi, by the way. Anyway, is this going to help at all, having more farms, when we still have to go through the same rigmarole to even study cannabis?
I was super optimistic at first, and we'd at least have multiple strains and some doses that went above that 8% THC range. And then I saw the form you have to fill out to apply for the farm approval, and I'm super apprehensive. I mean, folks who are willing to do it, I completely bow to you, but man, what a drag when I saw that.
Is that something like what Dr. Sisley would had to go through to get the PTSD study going?
It's actually even more complicated, because then they have to have a site visit to your farm and make sure you've got approval for every single seed you've ever had and every single place where the cannabis could grow, so there's no theft, and it's going to be a markedly bigger investment than your average cannabis grower is probably going to want to go with.
Wow. Well, we still have a lot of work to do to get the plant freed up enough for the scientists to study it and unlock all this potential that we know is involved. Well, folks, that's all the time we got for our cannabis Q&A segment. We do it every Monday here on the Russ Belville Show. And if you didn't get your question in, or you just want to keep it private, you can always send an email to Dr. Mitch at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much.
Stay tuned, folks. We got more highlights from the 25th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest. My speech at the Cavi Gold stage, kind of a smaller stage with kind of an intimate crowd setting. I told them my history as a cannabis consumer and how rock and roll led me to Mary Jane.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network. Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
We're here with Sir Richard Branson.
Far more damage has been done to people by the current approach.
Jim McMahon.
You know, a lot of the coaches are old school. You know, he used to just yell at us, go, oh, you bunch of pot smokers.
John Popper on the telephone.
You know, I think in the 60s, there was that kind of, the bigotry wasn't so concrete.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show. Annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. For the Radical Rant, we go back to the Cavi Gold stage Saturday at Hempfest.
Far out. My name is Radical Russ Belville. I'm with CannabisRadio.com. I do a live daily 2-hour talk radio show that covers all the news and the science and all the stuff going on in the world of marijuana legalization. But before I did all that, I was one of these guys. Back in the 90s, I used to play rock and roll. I had hair back then. I missed my hair. Every time I hear stages like this, I'm like, God damn, shit. Missed my hair, man.
But I came to weed through rock and roll. My dad was a drug and alcohol counselor, so like it was. I grew up in the 80s. It was all just say no. Hell, they had the first lady on like Different Strokes. Arnold, just say no. It was awful, man. It was terrible. And so I got into this rock band, and I'd never smoked weed. I'd never even seen weed. Like I was like 22 years old before I smoked weed.
No way.
22. It's crazy. Like. All of my friends are like, dude, I was like 12. Like, where were you? I'm like, I was in Idaho. Okay, give me a break. Not my fault. But I was in this band, and I'd been drinking up till then. Oh, yeah, I've been drinking. Some reason that wasn't a drug. You could drink. I started drinking when I was 16. We snuck wine coolers. Remember Bartles and James wine coolers, man? We snuck Bartles and James wine coolers in our trench coats to Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters. Right? Snuck him in, got all drunk in the movie, right? Set him all down on the floor, and my buddy's like, dude, when you get up, don't kick the bottles. Kick. Click, 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 click. And they roll all the way down the movie theater. Click, 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 click. So I've been drinking for years. Oh, man, I've been drinking. I drank more than you, faster than you, longer than you, better than you. I was a professional drinker. I had it down. I had it so down so well that it was beginning to really interfere with my college, right? Like, I was a really smart guy. I was one of those nerds. I was honor society guy. The college, man, I died out. 1.88 GPA. Man, right to hell, man. Spent all my college loan money. That was all gone. So I was just a drinker, man. But of course, I didn't have a problem with drugs. I didn't do drugs. Just say no to drugs. So I'm in this band, and we had a 4th of July gig. It's 1990. After the gig, great gig. We go up to the hotel room. They're all long-haired guys, and I just got out of the National Guard, so I'm just barely starting to grow my hair, and it got longer in the 90s. But so we got the hotel room, and then one of them whips out a joint. One of the long-haired guitar players whips out a joint, starts passing it around. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in a band that does drugs. Oh, these guys do drugs. Oh my God, they do drugs. And the joints start to get passed around. It's coming close to me. I'm getting nervous. I'm like, oh, these guys. Oh. It comes to me, and I'm like, no thanks. And they went, oh, all right. And that was my first clue. That was my first clue. It's like, wait a minute. What's the, come on, you pussy, you gotta do it. God, what kind of man? Because that was happening with alcohol, right? Guys, you know, growing up, it's like, drink, 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 chug, chug. Weed, it was like, oh, good, more for us. It kept passing around. About 3 or 4 times around with a joint, and they're just giggling and laughing at shit and talking, and the guitar player's playing some really cool noodly shit, right? I'm like, oh, that's great. And I'm like, oh, let me try that. Give me that. Let me see. And that was when it hit me. I was like, wait a minute. This is drugs? This is what you wanted me to stay away from. I just feel mellow. I got the munchies, and everything is really funny. I've been spending 6 years puking on my shoes, waking up with strange ladies, and flunking out of college over alcohol. And this is what you were keeping me from. And from that moment, man, I was pissed off. It was like, how dare you try to keep this away from me? Especially like the next day, you know, you wake up that next day and you're like, what, no hangover? No, you know, aches and pains? No scrapes from getting in a fight? This is what we're trying to keep from people. And it was that realization, and it was nothing to me for years. Like, I kept playing rock music, and this was Idaho, right? So we had to keep it on the DL, right? Keep it completely hidden as much as you could, being long-haired rock musicians. And got later on in the 90s, and then I met this woman who would later become my wife, who's now my ex-wife, but that's irrelevant at this point. And I'd never thought of it as medicine, right? It was just like, hey, we're just, you know, pot-smoking musicians. Woo, party, right? Well, she had endometriosis, which is like periods times a million, I guess. And then she had migraine headaches, right? And then so she's like, no, I don't smoke pot. My brothers smoke pot. They're total potheads. I don't want to smoke pot. It's okay for you, though. You do just fine on it. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then like about the 6th time she got one of these serious migraines and wanted to get taken to the emergency room, and I kept looking at her pocketbook, and we're out of money. I'm like, why don't you try smoking a joint? I could never do that. I'd be a pothead. You just try smoking a joint. I ain't taking you to the emergency room. And she's got that migraine aura coming on. She's like, all right, I'll try it. She got that same look I got 10 years ago when she went, this is pot? What? Because the migraine went, boom, just went right away. Like watching a cartoon now. Boom. And so at that moment, I said, well, honey, now we got to move. I've been a stoner in Idaho for a decade. I know how to get away with this shit. You're going to get me busted. You're going to mess this all up for me. We're going to Oregon. So we left for Oregon in 2003. I started getting involved with activism, started going to different rallies and meetings and marches when I started meeting medical marijuana patients. You know, people with MS who, like, you know, would be in crippling pain and then they smoke some weed and they were cool. I met people, this woman who has this Tourette's disorder, but she's like really tick, right? She's totally tick, 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 tick. And she's a graphic designer. Like, wow, that takes fine motor coordination to do that, you know, whether you're doing it digitally or with paintbrushes or whatever. And yeah, she uses her cannabis oil. Boom, she's totally calm. She's gets her work done. And I met more and more of these people, and I thought, wow, it's not just partying and having fun. It's also medicine. And that's one thing I worry about sometimes. We talk about medical marijuana as we try to separate us. No, I don't think it's separate at all. I think it's all one thing. I think all that pot smoking I was doing in the 90s was keeping me from drinking myself to death or ending up with a heroin overdose. There's something medical to that, isn't there? So I said I wasn't going to take too much of the time, and I'm taking a little bit of time because it meant a lot to me that we got this Cavi Gold stage for the first year here at Seattle Hemp Fest. This is my, like, 12th Hemp Fest that I've come to. And it's great to have this stage, Cavi Gold. Scott McKinley and the people with Cavi Gold and Caviar Gold have been doing so much to support this. And as we legalize, there's a lot of people that are jumping into this because there's money. I get, like, I do my cannabis radio talk show, and I get to talk to all these business entrepreneurs and these investment fund guys that are pumping millions and billions into this, and they don't know the culture. They don't know what it was like to be outside of a redneck bar in Mountain Home, Idaho, in the alley, cupping your joint inside so the cherry wouldn't show to the cop that's parked over there looking for guys to catch in the dark parking lot. They don't know what we went through. They don't know us losing our jobs, losing our kids, losing our families because we got caught for weed. I lost a career in information technology because the hair in my armpits said that I was a pot smoker. That's right. I've been doing a job for 2 years, and they said, well, you gotta take a drug test. I said, okay, I can pass a pee test. No, it's a hair test. I said, well, hair test. Go for it. What are you gonna find? Oh, they'll find some hair. Oh, now, hold on a minute. I don't want this job that bad. No, they woman shaved the hair off my armpits and chest and collected a little plastic bag to prove that I was a pot smoker. No good at the job I'd been doing for 2 years. And so those little things, they pile up and they piss you off. And it's important to not get too pissed off. It's important to direct that the right way. And some of us, especially in rock and the rock culture, have a very anti-authoritarian attitude with good reason. We've been busted because our hair was too long. We had tattoos or whatever it is. We got a Slayer sticker on the back of the window or something. They don't like that. They're going to, oh, you don't hear us. We'll get you. So we have this anti-authoritarian attitude, which sometimes makes us go, well, screw the system, we're not gonna vote, it doesn't happen, doesn't matter, right? Which is great for them, they love that when you bow out. Oh, you're not gonna vote?
Great.
We don't need your vote. We don't want you to tell us what to do. Great. And it feels like it doesn't do anything, but the very fact that we're here right now smoking pot in a big old park and nobody's doing anything about it kind of shows you that voting does do something. Doesn't always work the way we want it, doesn't always get you everything you want, but Stone said you can't always get what you want, but try some time, you might find to get what you need. What I need is some rock and roll and some weed. So thank you for listening to me, Randon, because it's my kind of an anniversary for me at Seattle Hemp Fest, and it's 25th Hemp Fest, and it's the first year of Cavi Gold Stage. A lot of cool things going on. I'm Radical Russ. You can find me online as Radical Russ on anything that has a username. I probably have a MySpace account still. I don't know. But if I do, it's Radical Russ out there. Thanks for listening to me. I'm CannabisRadio.com. Appreciate taking the time to listen. Have fun. Rock on.
Oh, so much fun at the Cavi Gold stage. Shout out to Scott McKinley and all the great artists that were playing there. I tell you, the bands at Seattle Hemp Fest, that's worth going to Seattle Hemp Fest alone, is just the great music that you're going to hear there. Some up-and-coming bands. All different genres, lots of different stages. Every stage has its own kind of theme and its own kind of feel. We're going to get more from the Seattle Hemp Fest coming up here in hour two. Elise McDonough, the edibles editor from High Times Magazine, stopped by backstage. We got a chat with her. Seattle Hemp Fest Chief Greenbud performance with special guest me on the main stage. A long discussion with Ed, New Jersey Weedman Fortune, and Nurse Heather from Cannabis Radio. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.